The message today is called, Which Way Should We Go in 2005? Which way should we go in 2005? It's an interesting situation. I don't know whether some of you had the opportunity or the nightmare, but of driving in a different country. Now, one thing about driving in England, though it's nothing like driving in America, because you're driving a car that has the steering wheel on the wrong side and the shifter on the wrong side, and you're driving on the wrong side of the road, and you have these crazy things called roundabouts. So while there are some stop signs and while there are some lights, mainly you just kind of go into these roundabouts, and then when you figure out how to get out, you just get out where you're supposed to. But one thing nice about a roundabout, if you miss it the first time, you can go around two or three times till you decide which one to go. However, that's different. When my wife and I believe we're in France. It is while you're back to having the steering wheel on the proper side of the road and driving on the proper side of the road, you know, you come up to these signs. They don't do signs in America on the expressways. They give you warnings. They'll say, you know, 4.5 miles till you get to Ryan Road, and before that you got 7 mile, and before that you got. They don't do that. Usually it's right on you, and then you're trying to figure out, my French is poor at best, and when you see La Rue de Miserable, you don't know where you're supposed to go. And I remember I am the pilot, and my wife is the co-pilot, and we're driving down a road that we're not sure what that road is, looking for a road to get off, and we're not sure where that is. And then you have people on your bumper and you're driving at about 75 miles an hour. My wife finally just said, you gotta get off and stop it. We gotta figure out where we are. And she was right, cause it was, she's being the co-pilot. We're driving on a road that we don't even know where we are. We can't even find ourselves on the map. And here I'm driving 75 miles an hour down a road. We don't know where we're at. We don't know where we're going. And so we need to stop and figure out what is going on and where we're at. Now that's not unlike what we see here in Jeremiah 16, verse 16 through 19. I've chosen this passage in Jeremiah 6 for New Year's because Judah of old was really, they were going on the new ways of apostasy. They're traveling down the road. Judah is traveling around Jerusalem. The inhabitants of Jerusalem. They're traveling down the new ways of apostasy, and they're ignoring God's word and they're rejecting God's law. And God tells them to stop. He tells them to find out where you're at and get back on the old road. Get back on the old path. And you know, I believe that this is a good passage of Scripture because I believe that America is about where Judah was when God, through the prophet Jeremiah, told Jeremiah to tell him, this is what the Lord says. And increasingly, I'm convinced that America is lost their way. They're traveling 75 miles an hour on the broad road that leads to destruction. They're putting the pedal to the metal. If they were in Germany, they would be on the Autobahn, and they're just going like crazy. And many of our political leaders and many of our judges, what they're doing is they're doing that which is right in their own eyes, just like it was in the time of the judges. There's nothing that is their guiding compass particularly. They're just doing that which is right in their own eyes. And many of the religious leaders in our day are taking their people and they're wandering off in the wilderness. They're rejecting the old ways of worship and they're bringing the ways of the world right into the church, and by their own authority, they're Christianizing and christening these ways of the world and bringing them right before their people and telling their people that this is contemporary worship and this is all right and you should follow this way, and after all, it's fun and it brings in people. And the great tragedy is that Christians don't even know the difference. That's the great tragedy, is that many Christians don't even know the difference. They're into this seeker-friendly worship. And I got a note the other day, a handwritten note from somebody, and says, you know, don't preach against sin so much. So you're looking for the wrong guy. I mean, you know, if that's what you want, you're going to have to find a seeker-friendly church, because, you know, I believe that God has called me to be a watchman on the wall. I believe that He's called me to be the trumpet. And I believe that I don't love you if I don't warn you, friends. It isn't that I hate anybody. I don't hate anybody here at all. I'm not going to follow the note. By the way, it wasn't from a member. But nonetheless, you know, we can even take it a step further. American morals are an all-time low as far as I'm concerned. They are a mess. And friends, let me just tell you what's fueling that. We talk a little bit about it in Sunday school. What's fueling that is Hollywood's debauchery. I haven't watched one episode of Sex and the City, and I never plan on it. Now I guess it's in reruns. But they have something more gross to replace it. Desperate Housewives. I mean, the fare that we see on television, and I think that we may be embarrassed if we took a poll and people were actually honest and found out who watches this kind of trash that's on TV. And if that isn't bad enough, the internet pornography is fueling the degeneration of morals big time as well. And, you know, it's time that we stop. You might be on the road and the new way that everybody's on, but it's time we stop. And we ask directions. I have a very simple outline this morning. And it's based on Jeremiah 6:16-19. Ask, act, avoid, and approval. I'd like to start with ask for the old paths. It says, where is the good way? Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And that's what starts out in Jeremiah 6:16. And the Lord said, stand ye in the way. In other words, He's saying, stop where you're at. Stop right now. Stop. Instead of being like me driving down that French expressway, going fast, I don't know where, getting off, I don't know where. And my wife finally just says, we got to get off, stop, and find out where we're at so we know where we're going. And I'm telling you, God says, stop. Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? I have a lot of things in my collection, and one of them is this. Lynn and I got this several years ago. By the way, it's in your notes. This is a famous book, a page from a famous book, one of the earliest known copies of Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And what is interesting about this is the picture that you'll see in your bulletin. The guy on the horse is actually the likeness of Geoffrey Chaucer. And so you say, well, why is he in there? Well, Geoffrey Chaucer was a contemporary of John Wycliffe back in the 1300s. Chaucer lived from 1343 to 1400. And he is known as the father of English literature. He wrote in Middle English. And perhaps his most famous work, which I had to read some of when I was in college, was Canterbury Tales. It's a little difficult to read. But in the section of Canterbury Tales called The Parson's Tale, what I was shocked and amazed at was Chaucer in the 1300s quotes a portion of Jeremiah 16, or Jeremiah Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And I thought it was very, very timely. Here's what he says, and I'm going to give you the whole quote here, reading from this. It's obvious that Chaucer had read Wycliffe's manuscript Bible, because this is how it reads in Wycliffe's Bible in the 1300s. Chaucer writes, standeth upon ways and seeth, and ask of the old paths. That's just like Wycliffe wrote it. It says, what is the good way? And go in it, and ye shall find refreshing for your souls. Your soul needs rest. It can only find this by walking in the good way. Then Chaucer goes on to comment. The good way is that which has been trodden by the saints from the beginning. Who's the saints? He's not talking about Catholic saints here. He's talking about believers. And he goes on and he says, it is the old way. What is it? It's the way of faith and holiness. Believe, love, obey, be holy, and be happy. This is the way. Let us inquire for it and walk in it. But these bad people said, very interesting, and this is exactly what our passage of Scripture says, but these bad people said, we will not walk in it. Then they took another way and walked over the precipice and fell into the bottomless pit, where instead of rest they find fiery deluge fed with ever-burning sulfur unconsumed. It's hard for me to say it much better than Chaucer did, friends. We need to ask for the old paths. Now, while Chaucer wasn't a theologian, it's obvious he had this right. You know, the phrase, ask for the old path. You could put a word in there, ask for directions for the old path. Where is the good way? It's saying, make inquiry and follow the well-worn path of those who have believed and followed God in previous times. Now, that brings up a question. Who should be asked? You know, you can get wrong directions. You ever got wrong directions? If you don't ask the right people, you can get wrong directions, and that's happened to me before. But you know, being a man, I really have to be lost before I ask direction because, you know, yeah, I think this way, but my wife says, just stop and ask. That's why it was so nice the last time we had a talking GPS, and it got everything right. We could get to the smallest road. We'd just punch in where we were going, and it would tell us how to get there. We got right directions. But, so it says, you know, inquire, find out about the old paths and the good way, but who should you ask? Well, for Judah, those who should have been asked would have been Enoch. It would have been Noah. It would have been Abraham. It would have been Isaac. It would have been Jacob and more. And these men followed God and were blessed. Every time I read of Enoch, you know what I think of when I read of Enoch? I think of Enoch and I think the rapture. Because we read in the Scripture that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And I just believe that God raptured him. It's a previous illustration of what's going to happen to us as believers one day. And Enoch walked with God, so you need to walk with God. And then what about Noah? We read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Stick to the stuff. Stick to the stuff. All the world comes pushing in on you. All the world, you know, the devil is in a purpose with all of his diabolical demons. His goal is to make us undistinguishable from the rest of the unsaved world around us. He wants us to behave like they do, to do things that they do, to be completely undistinguishable from anybody else around us. But not Noah. Noah, until he was shut in the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, and he didn't have any converts besides his own family, but he stuck with the stuff. You say, well, you know, you can't just get discouraged. Well, he just kept with the stuff. And then what about Abraham? Abraham was the friend of God. You know, friendship with the world makes you the what of God? The enemy of God. Think about what's being said there. Now, I think that we can inquire of John. We can add to the New Testament people we should inquire of. John and Paul and Peter and James and even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We can find out what these old paths are by reading the Word of God. Let me just tell you, last year's Bible reading and Bible study isn't going to see you through for 2005, friends. I need to tell you that right now. I'm not saying it doesn't count for anything, but I'm just telling you, when I go home this afternoon, I'm going to eat some food. I'm not going to depend on what was I ate here on New Year's Eve. And let that food carry me on, because it won't carry you on very far. And so when it says inquire of the old paths, it's talking about get back into the Word of God, get under the preaching of the Word of God. I also need to tell you this. You know, I hear so often people say, you know, I wish the preacher would preach a message on this. Or I wish the preacher would preach a message on that. There is something else besides Sunday morning, friends. And I can't tell you how many times when somebody has said that or has come to the ears of the deacons and they've told me that, that I preached on it on a Sunday evening or in a Sunday school or on a Wednesday night message. You have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and Monday Bible Institute. You know, I'm telling you, if you want to find the old paths to walk in them, you need to be more than a Sunday morning Christian. You need to be more than a Sunday morning Christian. And I'm asking you to stretch yourselves. I think that as we see the day approaching, we need to do that. I need to hurry along because, you know, I pray that we'll be smarter than those of Judah of old, who they had no time to find out the old paths, or they didn't care even if they knew them. But the next thing that we see in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, and then the second part of verse 16, and then 17, it says, walk therein, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. One of the most frustrating things for me as a pastor is to work with people who profess to be Christians, and then when troubles come, they lapsed into behaving just like unsaved people. I got to tell you, that's so frustrating. When the clench comes, when the difficult time comes, they instead of doing what they should know should be done, they've sat under the preaching of God's Word. When these difficulties or these trials come in their life, they behave just like the unsaved. Truth of the matter is most Christians know far more of the Bible than they live. James 4:17 says this, therefore, says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, believers, you and I are called to walk in what the Bible calls in Jeremiah here the good way. Now, having said that, I want to ask you a question. And I really want you to think about it in your head here. When you examine your priorities, and I think you should do that as you start 2005, where does the Lord and service to the Lord fall? Is he in the top 10? For some Christians, he's not even in the top 10, not even on the radar screen. Really not. Green Bay Packers game. Not going to be able to be here Sunday evening. Oh, yeah. I got to go over and fix my cousin's car, so I'm not going to be able to be there on Wednesday night. Sunday's the only morning I get to sleep in, so I can't make it Sunday school. Wednesday night, are you kidding? Sunday night? No, I shoot pool on Sunday night. I play whatever. Colossians 1:18 says, "And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." How does your life show that Christ is number one? Just a question. How does your life show that Christ is number one? Does it show in your church attendance? Are you there on Sunday school or Sunday evening, Wednesday night? Does the preeminence of Christ show in your giving, in your witness, in your study of the Word, in your morality, in your talk, in your walk, in your values? If not, it should. James reminds us, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" How will you make Christ preeminent in 2005? Well, one thing you can do is you can avoid ignoring God like Judah did. You know, it's scary. Look at this. Look at what we read in Jeremiah chapter 6, in verse 16. It says, "But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I have set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation. What is among them? O hear, earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their own thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." They wouldn't listen to God's word. They didn't pay attention to God's rules. They rejected it. Avoid being like Judah. I hope that we're smarter than that. I hope that we can learn. I hope that we hearken to the sound of the trumpet and that we walk in the good way. Because when we do, there's approval. Back to verse 16, verse C, it says, "Ye shall find rest for your souls." Ye shall find rest for your souls. There is sorrow and misery for those who rebel against the Lord. I don't care whether you're Christian or not. There's sorrow and misery for those who rebel against the Lord. Just mark my words. That's where it's headed. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." However, there is rest and peace enjoyed by those who follow God's way. Psalm 1 bears that out. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall," what? "Prosper." Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Now, let me explain that phrase. It should ever be on your lips and ever in your thoughts. So that's what it's saying. It needs to be on your lips and in your mind. It says, "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." See, following the old paths, whereas the good way is rewarded by God. It's rewarded by God. Maybe not monetarily, but in peace and in strength and in direction, and yes, sometimes monetarily. So as I close this out so we can come to the Lord's table, let me review what I've challenged you with this morning. I hope we're not like Judah. I hope we're not like Judah. Hope we're smarter than Judah as individuals and as a congregation. Number one, we need to ask. We need to make inquiries and find out which paths are old, reliable paths that God blesses. Where are you going to find that? Number two, we need to act. Walk therein. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Number three, we need to avoid ignoring God as Judah did, because when we ignore God, there will surely be judgment coming. And then number four, approval. When you do what God tells you to do, there is blessing, friends. There is blessing. So, my challenge to you is the challenge of, we read about in Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Don't be like those of Judah that said, we will not walk therein. Don't be like those say, we will not hearken.